Good morning, church family. I am truly excited to stand before you today as we come together for another blessed Sunday service. Whether you're part of our faith community for years or visiting for the first time, I want to extend a warm and heartfelt welcome to each and every one of you. As many of you may know, Brother Jason's grandmother passed away last night at the age of 98. So if we could keep Brother Jason and his mother Nancy and their family in our prayers, that would be wonderful. So during his absence, we've got Brother Micah Watson, who will be doing the sermon portion for this morning, and y'all probably know him. He has preached here in the past, and he is also the campus minister at UKirk MTSU. So welcome. So now we are taking online prayer requests. So send a text or an email to jenkinsprayer@gmail.com early in the service so you can be included for the prayers of the people. And then also, this is really exciting. I know Brother Jason's really excited about it, is beginning in June, we will have a new sermon series, and it's called A Year in the Life of Christ. It will be a teaching series where we will try to breathe the air and walk in the dirt of Jesus's world. It's going to be super exciting. Next, there's going to be a potluck immediately after church next Sunday. The church is going to be providing the ham, so it would be great if you could provide the sides to go with it. Also, Ebenezer United Methodist Church is having a food truck festival on Friday, June the 12th from 4 o'clock and in the afternoon until 8:30 in the afternoon, and the entry is free. On Saturday, June 13th, there'll be another fun women's luncheon. We will be traveling to historic Belbuckle, Tennessee, and more information will be forthcoming, I believe, from Liz. Also, we're still doing our bug spray drive. Outreach is collecting bug sprays through, it says May, but I think they said that they need it all throughout the summer. If you happen to be out and about and find some bug spray, please purchase some and bring them here to the church. Bug spray is one of the more requested items from our homeless community. Are there any other announcements?
Yeah, Mary. The Lions Club collects glasses, and the box is back here now. So if you have any old glasses that you want to donate or not use it anymore, put the box right there.
Eyeglasses. And I do have some. I don't think anybody's going to want to wear them, though. They're really old looking.
They redo them, and they make them good. The box is there.
The box is back here. Oh, yes. Okay, Brenda's definitely got, or Bryn's got a really good announcement. Go ahead, Lev.
For for the collage pages, she spent untold hours. I don't even know how much time she spent putting those together. And you will find those are so much fun. She was able to get a lot more pictures in that way by making the collage pages. So, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor.
Well, thank you so much, Brian. And it was at my absolute pleasure. And I will tell you, where's Julie Baum? All right. So I know you've got something you say, but anyway, I actually got onto certain persons' web pages, and if you look at Julie and Gary in the collage, you'll notice one of them. Yeah, it certainly wasn't anywhere around here, and you'll recognize it. All right, Carson's got an announcement.
Casey.
I mean, Casey. I'm so sorry. Go ahead. All right, are there any other announcements? Well, if not, with much love and thanks, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship. I feel like I come to a concert every single Sunday. It's just, we have got such amazing talent here. Just unbelievable. Anyway, if you could please stand for the call to worship. Our call to worship is from Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time on and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Now let us pray. Almighty Father, as we stand in awe of your goodness and mercy today, we humbly invite you to be present among us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, we declare that we love you. Thank you that you have made the way of love known through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would reveal this great love to all of us today as we gather to worship. Lead us by your Spirit to praise you. May our hearts overflow with thanksgiving and our mouths proclaim your everlasting greatness. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. So today is Trinity Sunday, so you're going to notice a theme amongst all the hymns, because they're all going to have something to do with the Trinity. So we're going to start out with Come Thou Almighty King.
Our scripture assurance is from Romans chapter 15, verses 15 through 16a. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another.
So we're going to sing again. Immortal, invisible.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the ancient of days, almighty.
So Jenkins kids are to go with Sandra and Marie today. And the offering, there are many ways to give for the offering. We have a box in the back, or you can donate online or send in cash or check by mail. So now it's time for Reverend Micah Watson.
Let us pray. Lord, we come to you right now, and Lord, we are so grateful to be gathered in this place. Lord, as we pray for the offering today, we pray that it goes to good use, to the furthering of your kingdom, to help Jenkins as they are a light in the Nolensville community, in the Nashville community, through the Burrito Ministry, through every other outreach that they do. Lord, just bless the gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. It's good to be with y'all again. I think I'm finally getting to the point where I can't say most of you maybe know me, maybe half now. So it's good to see a lot of new faces. I'm Reverend Micah Watson. I am the campus minister at UKirk MTSU in Murfreesboro, so y'all's partner ministry on the campus of MTSU there, working with young adults and college students. And 10 years ago this summer, I was the youth minister here. So some of you might not know that. So it's good to be back. I was youth minister here through my time in seminary, through most of it anyway. And then left for MTSU in the summer of 2016. So good to be back, good to be here, good to see a lot of faces I know, and good to see a lot that I don't know. It's a good sign.
You don't know me.
I don't know you. I don't. I try to forget. No, I don't try to forget. I don't try to forget. Never. Oh, man. All right. So this morning I'll be sharing a sermon taken from a series that we've used at UKirk called Unraveled. The specific theme we'll be exploring this morning is the radical unraveling of vocation. Believe it or not, vocation topics are pretty relevant in university settings. It's almost like, you know, college's vocational prep or something like that. Of course, in all seriousness, our students are very concerned with what is next for them. Some have a clear path. Some are very much still discerning that path. It is our goal at UKirk to work with them or to walk with them during their short 2 or 4 years with us and their journey at MTSU and help them answer questions like, how does faith fit into my career plans? Can I be called by God into secular vocations? What does that look like? This theme is great for college students, but it's also relevant for us, for those that work 40 hours a week, for those that work part-time, for those that are retired, for those that have different ways of working or working on projects and different things. For those of you that don't know, and it would probably be most of you, I've been bivocational for the last 7 or 8 months. In October of last year, I got the chance to step into the pickleball world as the general manager of Apex Pickleball in Murfreesboro. So I basically have 2 full-time jobs. In a weird way, there are a lot of similarities between my 2 jobs. At UKirk, I work for a nonprofit, and our mission with students is very much to give what we have to our students while teaching them, in turn, to give to others. At Apex, I work very much for profit, or at least I'm trying to. Those are the 2 main differences, but like I said, there are a lot of similarities. In both roles, I am very much a program coordinator, a promoter, a facilities manager. And most importantly, in both roles, I build relationships with the people that walk through the front door. Now, I don't want to compare them too much because the pastoral relationship I foster with students is very different from the relationship I build with Apex members and guests. Even though there are plenty of people at Apex that I consider really good friends, mostly the ones that I've known over the years and played pickleball with in Murfreesboro. Today we are looking at the story of Zacchaeus. We're going to see how his work life comes unraveled through his encounter with Jesus. For a little more background on the Unraveled series, it comes from a group of mostly Presbyterian women clergy called Sanctified Art. I love using their stuff for two reasons. They come up with cool concepts, like Unraveled, that help us read scripture through kind of an interesting lens or theme. And I went to UKirk, then the Presbyterian Student Fellowship, with one of their artists and founders, Lauren Wright Pittman. So kind of a cool connection there. But anyway, Unraveled. For their series, Unraveled can take on a lot of meanings, both negative and positive. Often from negative to positive. Usually in life, we find an unraveling moment, something that maybe sends us spiraling. But we can also be unraveled by joy, love, kindness. In today's scripture, Zacchaeus has his entire vocation unraveled. The way he experienced the world, the way he builds up his wealth, it is unraveled by his encounter with Christ. Our scripture this morning comes from Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. He entered into Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." He hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." So, Zacchaeus is a tax collector, and he's a chief tax collector. What's this mean for him? Previous to this series at UKirk, we had spent a lot of time in the Gospel of Luke, and we learned a lot about Luke in writing and the people the author was writing to. My favorite gospel actually went from being Mark to Luke during this time, because Luke is maybe one of the most relatable gospels for us. Luke is written to a more urban people, a people with a stratified caste system. Luke's gospel includes everyone from rich to poor to maybe even some that could be considered middle class because of their urban location. And they all have to live together and just learn to be in community together. And Zacchaeus is a tax collector in this setting, and he's rich. And he isn't really liked by many. Why is that? Well, Zacchaeus didn't earn his wealth in a way that was good for people that he collected taxes from. His methods were probably not very equitable. Zacchaeus would would have been guilty of many systemic sins. He earned his wealth off the backs of his fellow citizens. Tax collectors were notoriously corrupt. Because that the tax collector's job was to take their money, or the tax collector's job was to take people's money, and it's usually worse than that. They collected taxes for the empire, and then they extort and take some off the top for themselves. This might be a major part of how Zacchaeus became rich. Do we see people gathering wealth in similar ways today? Another thing we learn a lot about at UKirk while studying Luke was empire, Rome. We learned how to read Rome into almost every bit of the New Testament. We learned that Rome was pulling the strings. Even in heavily Jewish areas, Rome is the power player. It's often the kingdom of Rome versus the kingdom of heaven. And one thing we know about Rome is as long as Caesar is getting Caesar's, Caesar doesn't care what else is going on. So tax collectors, and Zacchaeus chief among them, made a living by collecting taxes and overcharging and using other methods to defraud people of their money. And that's why Zacchaeus is not very well liked or respected, despite being rich. Zacchaeus unraveled a lot of lives to get where he was. Everyone here has seen payday cash places, right? Places that profit off of the misfortune, off of other people's misfortune or lack of resources. Zacchaeus would have been a lot like that. He's a businessman that no one likes because he doesn't mind profiting off of other people's misfortune. He's perpetuated an unjust system. Zacchaeus and others like him had caused a lot of people to come unraveled. But today, for some reason, he's up in a tree trying to see Jesus. Jesus sees this and invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house. He flips the script on Zacchaeus and invites Zacchaeus to show him hospitality. And so Zacchaeus does. And for some reason, during this interaction, during Zacchaeus' encounter with Christ, his world, his vocation, everything comes unraveled. Something changes. His life is oriented in a new direction. He couldn't keep being old Zacchaeus. Has your life been oriented in a new direction since encountering Christ? So there's this phrase, this motto, this mission statement that my predecessor used to use at UKirk, and it stuck with me a lot over the years. Some of you have maybe heard me mention this before, but connecting faith to life. It's something that did resonate with me for a long time and still has. It's this question, this statement, this affirmation. Connecting faith to life asks you to see God all around you. It asks you to take God with you into life, not just into church or prayer time, but everywhere. It asks a lot of college students. It asks a lot of college students who are choosing vocations. Many times, we separate God from the rest of our lives because God belongs in church, right? God is something we do on Sunday mornings. Or we only turn to God when things aren't going so well. But connecting faith to life is a statement that affirms God's connection to all aspects of our lives. And we need to remember that we can't compartmentalize God. God is in all aspects of our lives, whether we like it or not. Here's the thing. Zacchaeus was a Jew. Jesus calls him as much. He too is a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus probably had faith in God, but he left it in the temple each week. He didn't practice it in his daily life. He didn't take it into his vocation. But then he had this encounter with Christ, and his life unravels. And it unravels into radical generosity. It unravels into Zacchaeus not being able to participate in the system the way he had up until this point. In fact, it unravels so much he has to undo all that he has done. for me, I had a very clear calling to college ministry, to a space and vocation where God is the definite central focus. That is not true for most. Most of my students at UKirk won't answer an overt call to ministry. They'll step into a secular workspace like most. The question then becomes, how do we take God with us? Or how do we recognize God is already there? For me and my new secular role at Apex, where I am very much trying to turn a profit, how do I take God with me into a space, into that space, and connect faith to life? What did Zacchaeus do? Friends, we have no reason to believe that Zacchaeus left his vocation as a tax collector. He might have. We don't know. He didn't drop everything and physically follow Jesus, like some of the disciples. Zacchaeus did change, though. "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I'll pay them back four times as much." And Jesus affirms that. Today, salvation has come to this house. Again, we don't know if Zacchaeus returned to his vocation as a tax collector, but we know he decided to live in an equitable way. For Zacchaeus to follow Jesus, he had to make himself right with those around him, with his community. How do I take God with me into my workspace? How do we? God has called us into a just, equitable, and loving way of dealing with others around us. That is the answer. We don't have to wave goodbye to God at the door of the church every Sunday afternoon. I don't tell God I'll be back at UKirk later. I'm heading over to Apex. No, it's simple. As the words of the old hymn say, they will know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they will know we are Christians by our love. When I transitioned from UKirk, where God is the obvious central focus, to my secular vocation, my faith in Jesus mandates that I continue to treat those I encounter in loving and equitable ways. Like our theoretical Zacchaeus who went back to work, can we find ways to advance the kingdom of God while still working for Rome? Will we connect faith to life? Will we do our jobs in equitable ways? Ways that advance the kingdom of God. The kingdom that is not built on the backs of others, like the kingdom of this world, or the kingdoms of this world. Can we proclaim the saving and equitable power of Jesus Christ alive in this world through our daily interaction with others? Can our vocations and lives be unraveled by the same radical way that Zacchaeus's was? Do they need to be? Friends, before I wrap up, let me be clear about who Zacchaeus was. He was a Jew, a believer in God. Maybe not so good of a follower of Torah. My impression is that he knew. I wonder if he went to temple weekly. I suspect he did. I suspect he knew the law. Knew the mandates of Torah to care for those around you. And until this point, he didn't do that. And probably knew that a little bit. He was okay with making money the way he made it. Something must have been changing in him already, though. God must have been softening his heart. He was a sinner in the eyes of his fellow Jews. Why would someone in a position... and that in his position, be seeking Jesus in the manner he was. Why would he know exactly what to say, what to repent of that day? He knew. We often know when we are dealing in unjust ways with those around us. Will we be able to do what is necessary to set ourselves back on the path like Zacchaeus? Let us pray. Lord, we come to you right now, and again, we're so thankful to be gathered in this place. Lord, please just direct our our hearts and our minds to not be focused on what we can gain, but to be focused on what we can build, how we can love, how we can bring up those around us, those in our community. Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen. If y'all want to turn in your hymnals to number 6 or number 268. This time, are there prayer requests or praises to be heard? Yes.
Obviously, keep Brother Jackson in your prayers along with Nancy and the rest of your family.
The family of Charles Knapper.
Charles who?
Knapper.
Target his specific cancer.
Are there others? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, you have heard the prayers of your people. You know the requests that are unspoken. Lord, we ask you to be with each and every one of us here today and with those not here, Lord. Provide comfort in the situations that need comfort, healing in the situations that need healing. Lord, we pray for Jason and his mother Nancy and the rest of their family, Lord. We pray that they are able to celebrate a life well lived. But it is hard losing someone. We pray for the family of Charles Napper. And we give praise that Steve is doing well, but we ask for healing and for continued good results. And Lord, help us to pray the prayers that you taught your disciples, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, go from this place looking for ways to connect faith to life, to take God with you in the community, to recognize that God is there either way. And let them know that we are Christians by our love. In Jesus' name, amen.